This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. More than one in five adolescents will experience a mental health disorder, including depression and anxiety. And this puts them at a higher risk for suicide, which is the second leading cause of death among adolescents. Now, researchers at Cincinnati Children's Hospital Medical Center are studying the impact of air pollution exposure on mental health disorders in children. The scientists have received a $5.3 million grant from the National Institute of Environmental Health Sciences, or the NIEHS, to advance their research. So let's talk about it. Joining Cincinnati Edition to discuss the study are Cincinnati Children's Hospital Medical Center lead investigators of the project, Dr. Kim Cecil, who is Director of Radiology Research for the Imaging Research Center. Welcome, Dr. Cecil.
Hello.
Dr. Patrick Ryan from the Division of Biostatistics and Epidemiology. Welcome, Dr. Ryan.
Good afternoon.
And Dr. Kimberly Yolton, Director of Research in the Division of General and Community Pediatrics. Welcome, Dr. Yolton.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
So, Dr. Cecil, what do we know right now that prompts further research, particularly research to be funded by this $5.3 million grant?
This project allows us to do in-depth studies with two really wonderful cohorts from Cincinnati of young adults now and young adolescents. And we combine behavior and neuroimaging to really get at what is the mechanism underlying this association we're seeing.
Well, that, I guess that's what I'm asking is, what is the association that we're seeing right now?
Let me defer you to my colleague, Kim Yolton.
Certainly. Dr. Yolton, please go ahead.
Sure. So, you already mentioned that one in five adolescents has a mental health disorder. Among Americans, about 50% of us will experience a mental health disorder in our lifetime. These usually start in adolescence or late childhood, and then they carry through adulthood. So there's a lot of, it's a lifelong disorder that kids drag through adulthood. What we're finding in our earlier work is that there is a very close association between exposure to air pollution and increased self-reported symptoms of depression and anxiety in adolescence. So we're following those kids and another group of children longer so that we can see how long these associations persist. And to understand a little bit more about what's going on.
Let me bring in Dr. Ryan. When we hear about self-reporting mental health issues and potential association with air pollution, is that something that the patients are aware of? Is that something that they're suggesting is a possible cause?
So let me back up and say, I think that air pollution is a relatively novel area when we think about mental health outcomes. But if you think about it, other environmental exposures, we do recognize as playing an important role and brain health, right? So if you think about needing a walk or going outside and feeling better when you see green space, things like that. But air pollution is one of these things where when you're exposed to it, your body doesn't like it. And your body reacts to it in multiple ways, in the lungs, in the hearts, and in the brain. And so that's why we became interested in how air pollution affects brain health, in addition to things that you more commonly think about, like respiratory health or cardiovascular health. But to your question directly, oftentimes I think our participants in our studies don't or haven't in the past recognized that this is something that might be impacting their brain health. And when we talk to them about it, I think they recognize the importance of it, but are surprised by it.
Dr. Cecil, is there something particular about the development of the adolescent body? I think we just heard a reference to the brain that makes this type of targeted research important.
With our studies, we're trying to link inflammation and what Dr. Ryan was just mentioning. We think about inflammation in the heart, in their lungs. So this work is really novel and important to understand inflammation in the brain. And we use behavior tools to assess behavior, tools to assess the structure of the brain with magnetic resonance imaging. And all of these things coming together we think will give us new insights into what's happening that ultimately could impact public health policy and individual behaviors in our lives. So when we know we're living in a very polluted environment, we take extra steps to go be in a park and have green space to improve our mental health and to improve our lung function.
I want to note for our listeners that according to the announcement from Cincinnati Children's about this grant to study the link between air pollution and mental health, it notes that these three doctors, our guests, Dr. Sissel, Dr. Ryan, and Dr. Yolton, found previously that childhood air pollution exposure is associated with increased risk for depression and anxiety at age 12 years, and that children exposed to higher levels of air pollution early in life had changes in brain structure. However, the role of air pollution in the onset and persistence of mental health disorders during adolescence and changes in brain structure, organization, and function linked to those outcomes remain poorly understood. So let me bring Dr. Yolton back in. How will you build upon your previous work with this new grant?
So we're really excited about this because we've got two really wonderful cohorts in Cincinnati. Cincinnati is a great place to do environmental health work. And it's been going on in the city since this 1970s was some of the earliest environmental health work was done here. So we've got two different cohorts. I will talk about one and I'll let Dr. Ryan talk about the other one. But I've been directing the home study, which is the health outcomes and measures of the environment study. I've been directing that study since it started. It started in 2001. And we enrolled pregnant women in Cincinnati and we've been following their offspring since then. We've been looking at a lot of different environmental exposures, but we have not tapped air pollution yet. And that's where Dr. Ryan's study comes in because his study has primarily focused on air pollution. So what we're going to be doing is we're going to be introducing this new exposure to our cohort, the home study, and following these kids now. The last time we saw them, they were 12, and we will now be bringing them in at 18. At 12, we did look at mental health outcomes, anxiety, depression, and some social skills in the kids. So we'll be able to then, with Dr. Ryan's expertise, look at what their air pollution exposures were throughout their lifetime, and then follow them up at 18 and measure these things again, these outcomes again, and look at how these mental health disorders might persist. And then with Dr. Cecil's expertise in the magnetic resonance imaging piece, we'll be able to get, we've got brain scans on the kids at 12 and we'll have them again at 18. And I think Dr. Ryan should explain his cohort a little bit just to get get it rounded out.
Sure, Dr. Ryan, go ahead.
Sure. So as Dr. Yolton mentioned, I've been a part of a study in Cincinnati called the Cincinnati Childhood Allergy and Air Pollution Study, or the CAPS cohort. And as the name alludes to, the original focus of this study was the impact of air pollution on allergic disease and asthma development in childhood. So the study was really designed, it started in 2001. It was really designed to look at how air pollution affects the health of young children. We recruited kids shortly after they were born. And the neat thing about the CAPS cohort is that it was designed to recruit kids who lived very close to major highways. So those children that we thought had a very high level of air pollution exposure, and then another group of kids that lived far away from major highways. And we've been following them throughout their childhood. And at age 12 is when we started to assess their mental health outcomes and look at those outcomes in relationship to their early childhood air pollution exposure. And now with this new grant, we're really excited to work with Drs. Yolton and Cecil and combine that cohort with the home study, which is a complementary cohort. And those children are located throughout the Cincinnati area. And we can start to look at, as you mentioned before, how these mental health outcomes start and how they persist throughout their adolescent time period when a lot of these issues start to arise and really become dominant. And so the air pollution exposure work that we've done can easily be transferred and applied to the home study, which really makes this new study possible, that we can use those same models and estimate air pollution exposure for all of these kids in both studies.
So we're talking about a couple of different studies. We heard some acronyms used there. CAPS is it stands for Cincinnati Childhood Allergy and Air Pollution Study, and HOME stands for Health Outcomes and Measures of the Environment. And let me turn it back over to Dr. Cecil. We're talking about a $5.3 million grant over the course of 5 years from the National Institute of Environmental Health Sciences. So that amount sounds like a lot to somebody not in the research field. Can you help us understand how that amount of money will be used to help further this research?
Yes, it is a large amount of money, and it is large for this type of grant mechanism. It really goes to show how much the National Institutes of Health really values this information we're going to be collecting. We spend the money on, I'll speak about what I am expertise on, magnetic resonance imaging scans. Anyone who's had an MRI knows that's an expensive modality. But probably the most of our expenses go towards a lot of staff are necessary to reach out to families, develop relationship with them, spend a lot of time doing mental health assessments and just behavioral and demographic assessments. So a lot of staff are required for this large study, bringing in hundreds and hundreds of children and doing a thorough evaluation of them. And then spending time analyzing all the data and reporting the results back to the families as well as in publications.
And Dr. Yolton, I understand that bringing these two studies together for a combined exploration is something that you and your fellow researchers here have wanted to do for a long time.
Yes, it is. We've really wanted to do this. We've tried to figure out the best way to do it. We've thought about, with the HOME study, we've studied a lot of different environmental exposures, and we've thought about trying to pull the two cohorts together to look at something else. But really, the ideal exposure here and the thing that is most meaningful and is follows a nice trajectory from our earlier work is to look at the air pollution. And like Dr. Ryan said, it's very, I'm not going to say it's easy, but it's possible to map where our children live in the HOME study and apply the same sorts of mechanisms to determine what their exposures have been. So this is something we've wanted to do for quite a while. It took a couple of rounds of submissions to the NIH to get this funded. But we're really excited that we were successful on this round, that they were willing to give us, like Dr. Cecil said, a little bit more money than what's typical with one of these types of grants.
We're talking today about Cincinnati Children's Hospital and some scientists there receiving a five-year grant totaling $5.3 million from the NIEHS to study the link between air pollution and mental health. And we are joined today by Dr. Kim Cecil, the Director of Radiology Research for the Imaging Research Center, Dr. Patrick Ryan from the Division of Biostatistics and Epidemiology, and Dr. Kimberly Yolton, Director of Research in the Division of General and Community Pediatrics. Dr. Ryan, how do you see the potential for this study in impacting public health policy?
Yeah, so I mean, the goal of the research that we do obviously is to make a difference in both individual level and what telling people what they can do, and then from a broader standpoint, public health policy, whether that be at a very high level regulatory action, the Clean Air Act, the National Ambient Air Quality Standards, those types of regulatory actions are based in the science that's being done by researchers across the United States. And so I think that just speaking to the National Ambient Air Quality Standards, those types of levels of air pollution, the criteria levels that we hear about are based upon health outcomes that have been studied in the past, like respiratory outcomes and death. But really the impact, as I mentioned before, of air pollution extends beyond that. And so what we're interested in is seeing now more subtle health effects that certainly take a major role on public health, but don't necessarily result in death. And so that's where the mental health comes to play here. This is something that we need to be thinking about at current levels of air pollution. Are we still seeing effects on human health and you know, mental health is one aspect of that that I think is really important.
Dr. Yolton, I think it was you who said something along the lines of Cincinnati being a good place for research related to the environment and the impacts on health. Am I correct?
That's right. I mean, one of the original lead studies was done here by Dr. Kim Dietrich at the University of Cincinnati. That started in 1979, and they actually just wrapped up a new round of data collection with young women in that study that are in their 30s. So Cincinnati's a great place to do this kind of work. There are a lot of expertise in the city within the University of Cincinnati and here at Cincinnati Children's. And we all try to work very nicely together. We often cross the street with each other and collaborate. So it's a great place to do this kind of work. The other thing is that, unique to Cincinnati is that people don't leave Cincinnati very often. You know, people get stuck here. I always tell people it's a vortex, that it's, you know, I moved here in 2000 and thought I was going to be here for a couple of years, and I just can't seem to get out. So, people stay. It's a great city. They may move around within the city, but people don't leave that much. So it's great for cohort studies like this that need to keep track of people for a long period of time.
So that's what I wanted to ask. I probably should have asked this earlier, but these folks that you're taking a look at over the course of all these years and into the future now, they're local?
They are local. I mean, I will say the majority of them are local. We did in our last round with the home study, when the kids came in at 12, we had people coming in from other parts of the country. People do leave sometimes. You know, you've got people from P&G or other industries that might move to other locations. But a lot of times they will come back for us. So we actually recently had somebody come in from Massachusetts just for a brain scan. So they are very loyal to the study, and they will travel. When they're committed, they'll travel.
And Dr. Ryan, is there anything in particular about the environment in Cincinnati that makes it useful to such studies?
Yeah. So, initially the CAPS cohort, one of the selling points to look at air pollution in Cincinnati is frankly, especially in the early 2000s, the air quality wasn't that great for a city of our size. Many things contribute to that. The coal-fired power plants, which are starting to shut down, the topography of the region. But also, we have some major interstates, Interstate 71, 75, 275, 71, 75, obviously come together at the cut, the hill. And so we have a lot of truck traffic. And so when we're thinking about both respiratory outcomes and especially the neurobehavioral outcomes that we're interested in now, very small particles and diesel exhaust particles are one of these particle types. They're very, very small. We call them ultrafine particles. They're small enough to cross into the circulatory system, directly impact the brain through the olfactory bulb and other ways. So those types of air pollutants are frankly pretty high in Cincinnati historically and still to this day remain high, especially near those major roads.
Dr. Cecil, we established that there isn't much in the way of research that you all are about to embark upon. So is there an expectation, perhaps across the country, maybe around the world, that this study and the results of it could be very impactful?
Yes. We, with our prior study of the CAPS cohort at 12, it kind of gave a little peek that there's a lot here. And if you think of it, what we discovered at age 12 was kind of the tip of the iceberg. And we're going to go below that waterline. And we think we're really going to have a big impact, not only in Cincinnati, the U.S., and around the world.
Dr. Cecil, Ryan, and Yolton, thanks to all of you for being with us. Good luck with this research. And we look forward to talking to you all again.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And you've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. Our producer is Selena Reeder. Our assistant producer is Nick Swartzel. Our technical director is Josh Elstrow. Our theme music is composed by Rob Fetters. You can find archives of our program online at WVXU.org. I'm Michael Monks. We'll talk again tomorrow.